Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 10, reading through verse 14. The Word of God says, "And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." If correctly read, that's Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 through 15. That 14th verse is the main verse that's on my heart. The Word of God says, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Now, that seems almost cruel, doesn't it? If you were to walk outside and there were two blind people walking down the street, and they were headed towards Plant Avenue, and you started trying to stop them from walking out into the traffic, and someone said to you, "Leave them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind." Doesn't that seem a little cruel on the surface? To just let the blind lead the blind and they'll both fall into the ditch? There's a great lesson that Jesus is teaching here. You back up and look at this in its context and look at what Jesus has been saying to the Pharisees and what he has been saying about the Pharisees. The main thing is that Jesus kept telling them and warning them, and the apostles were preaching to them, and yet they continuously were rebelling against the Word of God. And as they kept rebelling against the Word of God, they had no light. And because they did not have the glorious light of the gospel, therefore they were blind. And because they kept rebelling against that light, Jesus finally reached a point when he said, "Now they're just blind leaders of the blind." And I want you to notice the first expression in that verse says, "Let them alone." That's the main thought that's on my heart tonight. Let them alone. That's almost the opposite of a statement that we looked at this morning, where Jesus made a statement, Bring him to me. You see the contrast here in Jesus saying, "Bring him to me," and we tried to study that this morning. But tonight, the statement that Jesus makes is, "Let them alone. Leave them." I usually would not say, "Let them alone," but I would say, "Leave them alone." Just leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and they'll fall into the ditch. I believe that there is a principle in the Word of God that when people have continuously been warned by God and by the Word of God, and they have continuously rebelled against God's Word, eventually Jesus will say to them, and we ought to say, "Let them alone. Leave them alone. Let them go the way that they desire to go." There are many other people that need instruction who have never heard instruction. There are many other people who are hungry for the Word of God, and you need to spend your time working with more people who are hungry for the Word of God and speaking to those who want to hear the Word of God than to continue working yourself to death trying to work with those that are not going to do or interested in the Word of God. So Jesus says about these Pharisees, he says, "Let them alone." Now, Jesus was about to bring these people into severe judgment. And you might say, well, now, if he was about to judge them, it seems that it would be even more urgent to tell them, "You must stop the direction that you're going in." And though Jesus does occasionally speak to them, most of the time that Jesus is speaking to them, all he is doing is just declaring their sinful condition. Right before this, he said in Verses 7, 8, and 9, he says, ye hypocrites. Now, who is he speaking to? The same people that were offended at his word. He says, ye hypocrites. In verse 7, Matthew 15, verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Can a child of God honor God with their lips? Can they have all outward kinds of appearances that they love God, and yet their heart is far away from God? Have you ever been there? I know that there have been times. I remember one time when I was a young adult, and I was teaching Bible study in church, in Corinth Church at Macon. And I was teaching every Sunday, and I was there in God's house, and I was going through all the motions, and I would sometimes lead the singing, and I would do various other things, but my heart was not close to God. My heart was far away from God. And I believe that I reached a point where God just said, leave him alone. That is, my dad had come to me, and my dad had warned me. My dad had tried to talk to me, and others had tried to talk to me, but I had hardened my heart. My heart was not close to God. My mouth, and I was still going through the motions, and my actions might have looked like I had great interest in God, but my heart was not right with God. And these Pharisees' heart was not right with God. And Jesus says, finally, leave them alone. Let them alone. Let them alone. Turning your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22, I think that this principle is set forth very clearly here again in Revelation chapter 22, as Jesus is in the whole book of Revelation is describing the judgment that God is going to bring on the Jewish nation. And these Jews who had been, you remember when Jesus came to preach, to whom did Jesus preach? Jews or Gentiles? He preached to the Jews. And when he called the apostles and he sent them out to preach, he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The preaching of the gospel to begin with was only to the Jewish nation, and these Pharisees were the religious people that led that nation. They rebelled against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus and the apostles, after the crucifixion of Christ, they kept saying, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming and is going to judge the Jewish nation for her rebellion against God. Jesus pronounced judgment on Jerusalem repeatedly, and the apostles continued to preach that Jesus was going to come and destroy Jerusalem. How did the Pharisees respond to all of that preaching? They rebelled against it, and they did not believe what was being preached. So in Revelation 22, and these are some of the last words that were ever penned just before the destruction of Jerusalem, in Revelation chapter 22, listen to verses 10, 11, and 12. And I'm going to ask you this question. Wouldn't you expect, wouldn't you think that God would just keep on and increase the preaching to these Pharisees? You might expect that, and we might think that would be the best thing to do, but I'm telling you that Jesus reached a point where he said, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Revelation 22, verses 10, 11, and 12. The Word of God says, and he saith unto me, that is the angel said to him, seal not the sayings of this prophecy, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. That is, the time that Jesus was going to come and judge Jerusalem. The time is at hand. That's what he's been speaking about all the way through the book of Revelation. Is the time is at hand. Verse 11 says, he that is... Now, I want you to hear this. I don't know of any... Well, I do know. I do know of a few other places where God says, just let them do what they want to do. Just leave them alone. That's what he's saying in verse 11. Look carefully at verse 11. He says, he that is unjust, does he say, go warn them some more? He that is unjust, does he say to them at this point in time, does he say, repent? Now that had been the cry of John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, and all the preachers of the gospel up to this point. Basically the cry they had been giving was, repent, 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 for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king is coming. But now the judgment that's given and the words that are spoken is, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Do you hear what he's saying to them? He's saying, leave him alone. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. What's Jesus? What is the Word of God telling us here? Let them alone. Let them alone. He says, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. Who is coming? Who is it that he says is coming? Jesus is coming. I'm coming quickly. I'm going to ask you a question. Was it too late for these Pharisees to repent when Jesus gave these words? Absolutely. It was too late. There is a too late doctrine taught in the Word of God. God's people can go so far away from God. A nation can go so far away from God that sentence is pronounced against that nation. And though judgment has not been carried out, the sentence is set. We have many people in our prisons today who have been given a death penalty, and they sit there for days and months and years, and they keep sitting there and sitting there. And the Word of God tells us that because sentence against an evil work is not speedily executed, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. When we don't see judgment carried out, it is human nature to think it's not going to be carried out. But it shall come to pass. And that's what Jesus says in Revelation 22:12. After he says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy. He says in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Was Jesus going to come and judge them? Were there some who believed the words of Jesus Christ that he was going to come and judge them? There were some who believed, but there were some who did not believe. Back up just a few pages to 1 John, just a few pages in front of this, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16. I'm going to ask you again now, in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14, those blind that were leading the blind, and brethren, they weren't physically blind, but they were spiritually blind. They weren't dead in trespasses and sins. They were blind. And so it is that there are many of the people of God even today that are blind. And they continue to be blind because they refuse to look at the glorious light of the gospel. And Jesus finally says, let them alone. Leave them alone. Are there many of God's children today that still need a lot of working with and encouragement? Are there a lot of babes in Christ that are still hungry for the gospel today? Did you know that every one of you have a responsibility to go and work with them, and you cannot, you are limited in your time. We're not God. And you and I are limited in the time that we have in our lives. And we're limited in the time that we have every day. And I believe that there are many, many people that we spoke about this morning that we need to hear those words, bring him to me. Here's another one, bring him to me. Here's another one, bring him to me. Here's one that needs help. Here's one that needs the Word of God. Here's one that is hungry for the Word of God. Here's one that will be rejoicing to see Jesus. Here's one that when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're going to shout for joy and praise God, for they've seen Jesus not just as their Savior, but they see Jesus as their King, and they see Jesus as their Lord, and they see Jesus as their Judge, and they repent because they see Jesus as He really is. And when they see Jesus in His fullness, there is a falling down and repenting, and there is a healing, and there's a lifting up, and there's a restoring. And there needs to be a lot more of that. And it will happen when the people of God are doing what we studied this morning. Bring Him to me! Bring Him to me! Bring Him to me! But we're so busy trying to pull and push and try to get people that don't want to go towards Him. We're so busy working with them that we are wasting our time and theirs. And so it is that Jesus says, let them alone. Let them alone. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16, the Word of God talks about brothers in Christ that can go so far away from God and the way of God and the things of God, and they harden their hearts that finally God says, just leave them alone. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16, the Word of God says, if any man see his brother, I want you to notice that we're not talking about dead alien sinners tonight. We're not talking about unsaved that are going to eternal hell. We're talking about the redeemed family of God. We're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, that is, what does the word death mean? The word death means separation. If you see a brother that is sinning, and yet his heart still has feeling to it, and he still has the ability to be reasoned with, then you go to that brother, and you reason with him, and you work with him, and you try to convert him with the Word of God. But if he will not hear the Word of God, if his heart is hard, if he's dead to hearing your words from the Word of God, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. But the Scripture says, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Your efforts are in vain when a person has sinned a sin unto death. When they have fallen away, when they have rebelled against the Word of God, the Scripture says, let them alone. Jesus says, he that is unjust, go ahead and be unjust still. I believe with all of my heart that we've reached that point in America today where there are still those that Jesus would say to us, bring him to Jesus, bring him to me, bring him to me. But I believe also that there are many who have heard the Word of God so much and they take the Word of God for granted and there's no joy in their hearts in the Word of God. And when they hear the Word of God, they're not rejoicing and happy and they're not worshiping God. And therefore, Jesus would say, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Leave him alone. Go with me back in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. Of course, this is the very end of the New Testament. But I want you to know that in the very beginning of the New Testament, that was a principle that Jesus set forth when he began to send out his apostles. He chose his apostles in Matthew chapter 10. He names those 12 apostles in Matthew 10 in the first few verses. But I want you to come down in Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 11, as he begins to send out those apostles, I want you to hear what he tells them. Is he going to say to them, now you go and you work and you work and you work and you spend years and years and years trying to get somebody to do what's right? Is that what he's going to tell them? Watch what Jesus said. Now listen carefully. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 11, the Word of God says, and into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy. Isn't that marvelous that you can, in a city or town, you can tell those that are worthy of the Word of God? There are people that are hungry for the Word of God. There are people that want to hear the Word of God. And he says, when you find out who in that city is hungry for the Word of God, there abide till ye go thence. Stay in that man's house. Verse 12 says, and when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. You know what he's saying when he says, shake off the dust of your feet? What are the words that Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 14? What did he say? Let them alone. I recently, or not too long ago, I preached at a church, and when I got outside and I started to get in my car, just before I got into the car, I clicked my heels together three or four times, and I shook the dust off my feet. And Teresa said, I know what you're doing. And brethren, unless God were to speak to me loud and clear, I'll never go back to that church again. I have preached my last sermon at that church. Because God has made it clear to me, they don't want to hear the Word of God. They're in open rebellion to the Word of God. And God says, let them alone. Leave them alone. God told these apostles that when they went into a house and the people would not hear the Word, He said, shake the dust off your feet. Get out of that house. You remember when, I want you to think about this, the prodigal son, I want you to think just a minute about the prodigal son. When the prodigal son was in his father's house, and the Word of God doesn't tell us a lot about how that prodigal son was living in his father's house, does it? It doesn't tell us while he was in his father's house. It doesn't tell us about any kind of a conflict that there was between the father and the son. It doesn't tell us about that. But I think that when the, and this is just my, understand now, I'm not preaching this as absolute truth. I'm telling you, I think that when that son finally said, give me mine inheritance, let me go, I think that father and son had already butted heads so many times, and they had already had so many conflicts about the way that son was living, I think that that father finally said, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go. You want to go? Here it is. Here's your inheritance. And he let him go. Did the father ever go running after that son once he let him go? Did the father ever, do we have any record of him doing anything at all to try to bring that son back once he had let him go? None at all. But do you know who did work on that son? God did. And when he came to himself, he went back to his father's house. Was it a good thing that the daddy let him go? Can there still be repentance after a person is let go? Absolutely. Go with me just a moment in closing, back up in your Bibles to Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, or rather especially the chapter, the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, is full of words of warning. Look in your Bibles, please. We're going to close right here in Ezekiel chapter 33. But everybody here, I think, most everybody at least, understands the book of Ezekiel chapter 3 and chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 3 and 33, those two chapters are repeatedly telling Ezekiel, now when you see the sword coming, when you see the sword of judgment coming, you better give them warning from me. Does everybody remember this passage now from Ezekiel chapter 3 and 33? He says, you better give them warning. And if you don't give them warning, they're going to perish, but their blood is going to be on your head. But if you see the sword coming and you do give them warning, they're going to perish, but you're clean from their blood. Does everybody follow that? I encourage you to go home and read Ezekiel chapter 33, but eventually, the warning was over in both instances, chapter 3 and 33. Look at Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning in verse 30, and we'll close with this short passage of Scripture. In Ezekiel chapter 33, Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 30 through 33, the Word of God says, also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. What were they saying? Were they still going to hear Ezekiel? Yes, they were. They were still going to hear Ezekiel. Was there some pretense of religion there? Absolutely. And then in the next verse it says, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee, that is the people that are really there to hear the Word of God, they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. I would remind you now, this is the condition many times of God's children. They hear the Word of God, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, and what was it that was going to come to pass? What was it that he had been telling them repeatedly was going to come to pass in Ezekiel 3 and 33? What was it he told them that was going to come to pass? The sword of judgment was coming. He says in verse 33, and when this cometh to pass, that is when the judgment come, and he says in parentheses, lo, it will come. It will come. God is going to judge the United States of America. God is going to judge this church. God is going to judge each of us individually. And lo, it will come. He says, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Now, why will they know that a prophet has been among them? Why will they know? What is a prophet? What is a prophet? A prophet is somebody that tells someone what is going to happen in the future. What is the spirit of prophecy or the testimony? What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? It's the spirit of prophecy. It's where you warn people about Jesus coming to judge them. And when Christ comes and judges, what's the last statement he makes there in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 33? He says, they will know that a prophet has been among them. I pray, brethren, that God will help us to remember that there are many, many, many people that God would have us bring him to me, bring him to me, bring him to me. But there are times that God would say, instead of bring him to me, God will say, let them alone. Both are very important truths for us to understand from God's Word. May God help us to rightly divide the Word of truth is my prayer for Christ's sake.